Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Welcome back to another episode of the Better Sex Podcast. This is Jessa, here again, welcoming you, thanking you for spending some time with me. I have a repeat guest today. Tina Shermer-Sellers is back joining me, talking about yet another new book that she has. I already interviewed her, well, a couple times, but once about her book about sexual shame and religious sexual messaging. And she's now created a book that's very user-friendly and very reference-based for parents to sort of deal with the sexual development of their own children and the sexual shame or fears or worry or just lack of knowledge they may have based on their own upbringing. And as she talks about in the episode, there's really an opportunity to sort of heal some of this stuff for yourself in the process of your parenting, as well as doing a better job by your children than you may have gotten. So I hope you really enjoy the show and that you get a lot out of it. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Tina, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so glad to be with you.
You just got to keep writing books. We'll just come talk about each one, you know. I'd love to know the story of how this latest book came to be.
You know, it's really kind of a fun story because I never planned to write the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is, I guess, maybe the best way to write a book, because books keep you sitting for a long period of time, usually. But a while back, probably a couple of years ago, I was sitting in frustration around how we just weren't moving as a country and getting comprehensive sex ed out to all the kids. I mean, out to all the parents and helping them get the information to their children. And, you know, I had been involved in trying to help us pass what we needed in Washington State, which we finally passed last year. But it was frustrating to me because I know, having come from a Swedish immigrant family, that comprehensive sex ed is really the best way to protect our children, to help them get involved with sex later, make safer sexual choices, have lower teen pregnancy rates, lower STI rates, help them pick better partners. I mean, just all the measures are better. And that they really are the things that parents and caregivers want for their kids.
Yeah.
And now, probably more than ever, we really want to help kids feel like they're informed. And we want to help parents feel like they understand the world that their kids are in, because the world is changing really fast. So the gap between what kids are experiencing and what parents understand is getting wider. And I was just really feeling the burden of that. And I kept thinking, is there anything I can do? And so what I thought of one day is, what if I could develop a particular kind of handout that docs could really easily use at well child visits, like pediatricians and family practice docs. And it could be something very similar, if not the same kind of thing, that teachers could use at parent-teacher conferences and psychotherapists could use in their offices, and maybe even faith-based people could use in their offices or whatever. Educators could use them of all kinds. And I just started to think, what could that be like? And then I thought to myself, you know, I think one of the things that gets in the way for parents and being the kind of sex educator that they want to be is their own shame gets in the way.
Right.
Because, you know, we know that, in the work that I've been doing over the years, 90 to 95% of homes have been silent or silent and shaming since the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, because that's when abstinence-only education got rolled out. And so kids start doing what kids do, right? They find their genitals at a year old or two, you know, and then they start going, wow, this is a really wonderful part of my body. And parents kind of freak out and they just feel silenced by it at best, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they start worrying as they, as kids start self-pleasuring, which they will by three. And they're like, oh no, what does this mean? And all that danger stuff that the parents got as they were growing up starts getting in the way with the, of them having conversations with the kids because the parents don't know what is normalized and their shame gets in the way. And I thought, how can I help parents understand what's normalized, what falls in the realm of kind of normal, and also kind of have a way to self-soothe their sense of shame and heal it and just soothe themselves a little bit. I mean, that's just what I started thinking about. So I thought, gosh, if I could put together like a type of a handout that was 8.5 by 11, one side it said, here's the emotional and behavioral task of your kiddo, ages 2 to 4, birth to 2, 2 to 4, you know, each one would be like just 2 years.
Yeah.
And here's the behavioral tasks, the emotional tasks of your kiddo, but here's the sexual curiosities they're going to have too, in just this 2 year range. Okay.
Okay.
And on the backside, here's the shame triggers you're likely to feel if your parent didn't happen to do this particular age well. And here's how you can self-soothe if you feel these things. And here's how you can heal if you feel these things. And then here's the top books or resources or websites for this age. Front, back, really just streamlined, bulleted, you know, super friendly. So I started putting these together a couple of years ago and I got done with them just about as the pandemic was starting to take, you know, we were about 6 months into it. And I got a hold of some of the top certified sex educators that were DEI specialists and queer specialists. And I asked them if I could just have them take a peek and say, where am I missing things, you know? And one of them, Bianca Loriano in particular, she said, you know, Tina, here's some ideas of things you could make better, but I really think that this would be great, all of them in a book. And I thought, oh, I didn't even think of that. It's really like bulleted and stuff. And she's like, yeah, I know. But I think the fact that it's so like streamlined and bulleted actually makes sense because people are in a hurry.
Yeah.
And if they know they can turn right to where their kid is and in like 3 pages, get exactly what's going to be going on, exactly what the top resources are, and also help them know how they might feel, like what might be coming down for them and what they can do, like what they can journal about, what they can think about that might help them prepare. I think it actually would be really helpful. So I took that advice and I sat down and I thought, I wonder if I can find a book template that would help me make this really user friendly. And I found one on Canva of all.
I was just going to say on Canva, right? And it really was.
Yeah, I did. And I put in like 130 pictures. I made it 14 font. And as I was laying it out, it was like the book came to life.
Wow.
Like it was always meant to be a book. It's 124 pages. It's just so user-friendly in your hands. You won't believe it. It's just incredible. And so I actually finished that first. And I later sent all the pages to an illustrator and I had them work on that. And then I flew to Nashville and I recorded the book. So that was done. And yeah, and they both ended up kind of getting done around the same time. I have a website that's Dr. Tina Shameless, and you can go there and you can get a license and purchase the Shameless cheat sheets if you're a doctor or a teacher or clergy or psychotherapist or whatever. And let's say you work with birth to 18 because you're a pediatrician, or you're just a psychotherapist and maybe you only do 10 to 18, or you're working just with teens and you want just 10 to 18 or just teenagers, or you can get just what you need And then you get it as a license. And I'm updating them all the time. And then you can go in and get it updated. And every year I'm going to update the book. And so that'll just make it so that you can get at things kind of easier. And then I have a parent community that I'm going to start so people can just get talking to each other.
But yeah,
that's how it all ended up happening. It was sort of like fortuitous. Yeah.
That's funny. Like it was brewing without you knowing it or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel.
Did you end up including anything else in the book than you originally meant to once it became a bigger thing? Or did it really keep straight to your original vision?
Yeah, it pretty much stayed pretty straight to it. I added different resources as I got talking to people and they would be like, oh, have you heard of this? Or have you heard of that? Or things are shifting up and changing, you know? And so as things do, then I would be like, oh, I'm going to put that in there or that in there. And I'm already in January, I'm going to be calling everybody in ASECT and saying, what have you noticed? Because I'm putting out a second edition in June.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be updating all the time because I recently taught a global queer group online, just a 3-week kind of developmental, like let's talk development. And they were just teaching me so many things. And I'm like, things are shifting, things are changing. So I just think that's what I'm going to be doing with this material is just constantly updating it for the people that download it. They can go back on and just download because they have a license to it. And then for people in the community, they can get new information. If you have the book, you can just go in and get a new copy or whatever every 5 years or so.
Yeah. In your mind, how does this relate to your book about sexual shame, religious sexual trauma, or the messaging people may have gotten? Like, it just seems like, I don't know, I want to call you the shame whisperer or something, but
yeah.
In your mind, how do these tie together?
I love that question. That's such a great question. Well, really, I think in many ways it prompted it because I'm in conversation all the time with people who have come from very shame-based backgrounds. And the thing I hear from the parents and caregivers all the time, and even those people that aren't parents, but are just feeling it and have maybe nieces or nephews or whatever in their lives or are healing from it, is I want to heal. I want to understand different. Or if they're parents or caregivers, I don't want to do to the youth in my life what was done to me. Mm. I don't know what to do. And I just want scaffolding. I want to understand. But all I have when I look in there is just this blank slate and a bunch of fear. So what you're giving me is like you're giving me the stuff. You're giving me the information. And while I'm reading it, I'm finding out that I was normal all along. Mm. I was just a kid, you know? And so it's like, it just like all that shame begins to fall off of them as they realize that nothing was ever wrong with them to begin with, ever. And that's always so fun to hear as I talk to people, you know, like, oh gosh, I thought all these things were wrong with me and nothing's ever wrong.
So do you think that's where a lot of the healing then comes from in reading the book is realizing I was just a kid. All this stuff was always normal. That shame never was appropriate.
I do. Yeah. I do. I really do. Yeah. And I think that's what's fun about the way the book came together because the book is filled now with all these pictures of kids that age. So even if you can't remember yourself, you're looking at a 2-year-old, you're looking at a 3-year-old, or you're looking at a teenager or whatever. And you're like, oh my gosh, they're little. I was that little.
Yeah.
I was really that innocent all along. How could I have known any different? And actually, it's okay that I didn't. It's right that I didn't. And that's, I think, the beauty of just the evolving sexuality that we have. It's always beautiful. And the fact that we live in a culture that doesn't celebrate it is tragic.
Yeah.
It's just tragic.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful part of who we are. It's an energetic, creative, beautiful part of who we are. And our culture just has never gotten it right, you know? And I think it's one of the voices that people like you and I and other people in ASECT who do this work try to constantly bring to the world is this different perspective that really is, I think, the original perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, just a quick little break in the show because I have something to offer you. If you have ever sat with your partner and you kind of run out of things to talk about that are not, you know, work, the kids, money, logistics, who's doing what, what's happening this weekend, if you are looking for a deeper way to connect, have conversations that build intimacy, that build awareness, you know, of yourself and your partner, I have daily conversation starters for you. You'll get them via text message every day, and then the two of you can have a more interesting conversation than maybe what you've been doing. All you have to do is text me the word topics to 206-309-8645, or look in the show notes. There's a link there. But text me the word topics, and you will start getting those every day. Now back to the show. Something else is sort of niggling at me because I've also had clients who had some sort of sexual trauma who didn't quite appreciate, how do I say this, like their own victimization until they have a kid who's that age. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, holy cow, I was only six. Like in their mind, somehow they, I don't know what they thought, but seeing their own kid at that age, it's like, holy cow, innocent. This should never have happened. Like they get a whole new appreciation of their trauma too, right? Yeah. As parents.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think we adultify ourselves in our mind and we place an adult self on the child because we can't really remember how little we were.
Right.
Right. Until we have fallen in love with our own child and we see how little.
Yeah.
And then we start to go, wow. Or we realize, how could someone harm someone so innocent?
Yeah.
You know, like we really begin to see what a violation it was.
Yeah.
You know, what a violation it was. And I think in many ways, working with people who have been in conservative church movements too, that's part of what they're coming to terms with too, is like, whoa, my developing sexuality was crushed.
Yeah.
Maybe people didn't intend it. Maybe they didn't understand what they were doing, but the larger movement was crushing people who were crushing my developing sexuality. And it traumatized me. It traumatized my developing sexuality. And it has profound effects that I'm healing from now. And it is not easy. And many of those people have all the effects of somebody who suffered child sexual abuse.
Yeah. So does somebody have to start with an infant? I mean, let's say, you know, somebody's listening, they find your book and they've got a 13-year-old, right? They've done 13 years without this awareness and maybe has passed on a bunch of the legacy that they received. Yes, can they start to make a difference no matter how old their kid is?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I say that throughout the book. It's helpful to for you yourself as the parent to read from the beginning just so that you get the information. But anytime you start talking to your child, it's good to start talking to your child. Now, your kiddo may already be developmentally at a place where they're starting to push away. And so I always say 100 one-minute conversation. And maybe they're at an age where you can only do 30 seconds, but keep doing them.
Yeah.
You know? And as they get older, it might be like you sit down and watch one of their shows with them and you're asking them questions, you know, and you're listening very carefully to what they say about the world they're living in. And what's nice about the fact that this book is put in age division sections. So like the section for a 13-year-old is 12 to 15 is it talks all about what's going on in that world. And then it gives the books for the parents to read and some books for the kiddos. And the books for the parents help the parents get a bird's eye view into what's really happening in their world right now.
Yeah.
And it can really scary for parents to see, but I'm always like, parents, you need to know.
Yeah. Having your head in the sand is not going to help, right?
No, you need to know. And then once you know, you can ask more informed questions. Like, are you seeing this at your school? And how is it for you? What do you think? You know, and you learn to deal with your own reactivity inside yourself. And I'm always saying, I say inside the book, get in a book group with some other parents that have 13-year-olds too. And just so that you can all start talking together about what this is like for you, just so you have a place to talk through your own reactivity, your own fear, whatever, you know, because what your kid needs from you is just your calm presence, just your calm presence. That's like, I got your back. I got you. I don't have the answers. I had to do 13 too, and I don't want to do it again, but I got you. I'm here. I don't expect you to not make mistakes. You know, I'm here and I'm going to do my best to walk with you and not be reactive.
Yeah, because I would imagine our reactivity, our anxiety about it, our fear, our panic, whatever might get triggered in somebody, the kid could likely pick up as judgment or shame or something's wrong. That's got to be the importance, right, of managing our own reactivity.
It is. And we don't have to be perfect either. We can say, I sometimes get scared because your world is different than mine was. But I don't want you to absorb whatever fear or anxiety you might pick up from me is that I don't trust you or I don't believe in you or whatever. But just know that I'm just doing my best. And we can talk about that. We can talk about what might be coming up for me. And I want you to know I'm reading as many books as I can and I'm trying to understand. And I really do want to learn from you. Like what's hard and what feels easy, you know, what I might not understand. Because I believe the more that we're talking, the more I can be supportive to you.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to pick an example of something maybe about the kind of thing that might come up. You know, you got a kid of a certain age and the kind of thing a parent might start to feel or be afraid of and how you talk somebody through managing their reactivity. I mean, I'm hearing about the book group. Sounds like a great idea. But do you want to walk through maybe one example?
I start the book actually with an example of a mom who wrote me, or actually was the dad who wrote me. And I knew this couple. I actually know a whole mess of bunch of friends that all live near each other. And I had walked them through like an 8-week course on raising adolescents once. And he wrote and said, my wife and I just learned that she's 14, that she's sexually active and we don't know what to do. She doesn't know that we know, and we are in shock, and we feel like grabbing our family and moving out of the state. But we thought we better just
maybe we should do something before we jump on the plane. Yeah,
right. And so I talked him off the ledge in my email, you know, and the whole thing, our whole exchange is at the very beginning of the book. And basically, I just said, you know, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. She has not ruined her life. You guys are phenomenal parents. She's just moving faster than she realizes. And some kids do that. And some of those kids that move faster than they realize actually are some of our most innovative, creative, brightest kiddos. And they just don't realize that they're going faster than the speed of light. And so you need to just take a deep breath and know that she's going to be fine. And let's start talking about some of the questions you might want to ask her to help her catch up to herself, you know? And so then I list a bunch of questions that they might want to consider just asking her about. It's kind of like, so, hey, we discovered this and this is your prerogative. This is your decision, but let's talk through what this decision might mean for you if you were to continue down this road, which you totally can. We are not angry with you. We aren't necessarily disappointed in you. We just want you to think things through. So here are some things to think about. And so it was things like, how would you be if he broke up with you? Is he the kind of person that isn't going to tell people? Is he the kind of person that's going to honor your privacy, not put things on social media? And so we just sort of talked through just some questions, talked through contraception, talked through STIs, talked through how she wanted to look back on her story, her sexual narrative. So we just talked through just some questions so that she could catch up to herself. And is he the kind of person who will care about her and care about, like, if she wanted to stop in the middle of something they were doing, or if she wanted to go back to the kind of behaviors they were doing earlier on in their relationship, right? Or was it like if he only got to where he just wanted to do penis and vagina kinds of things? Like,
right.
Would he honor that? So we just, those kinds of questions, you know, so she could kind of catch up to herself. So they waited 2 days and then they took her out of school and just had a really nice conversation with her. That was just that kind of thing. And it ended up being this just really sweet afternoon where she just thought it all through and said, I don't feel ready for this. And I don't think he's the one I want to do all this with. And I really do need your support and help to get myself out of it. And it ended up being a huge turnaround for how she's done now. She's like 17, how she's done the rest of her adolescence. And so really it's because these two parents had very conservative backgrounds where they weren't allowed to do much of anything without people just being authoritarian. That's the only thing they knew was to like
move. Yeah. Pick up and move the family. Yeah.
Yeah. Pick up and move the family and just tell her how she'd blown up her life. And so sort of giving them a different path to just help her, their daughter kind of catch up to her decisions, it just changed everything, you know, and it made them feel like they could stay connected to her and be a resource to her through the rest of her teenage years. I mean, through the rest of her high school years. And it's changed their whole family dynamic. And that's what I want for parents, you know, and that's what the research says, is that if you know how to do this, your kids are going to want to stay closer to you overall.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
That's a lot of motivation to tackle our own sexual shame, our own sexual hangups. It's like, wait, I can do this. At least I can do this for my children. It's hard to do it for myself. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But I think we really often need someone to just hold our hands, just say, you got this. Let me give you some ideas of how to do it. Don't expect yourself necessarily to know because no one did this for you, but here are some ideas of what you can do or maybe try to do. And that's what I had in mind. Like, I want this book or this material to feel like someone's holding your hand, because there is other ways to do it. And you're going to feel so much better about yourself. Your connection with your kids are going to be so much better. And it could change the legacy for the next generation for you. And that's my dream. That's what I got from coming from a Scandinavian background. And that's what I would love to do for parents. And that's what's in my mind about, that's what this book and these cheat sheets are all about.
Yeah.
It's just holding parents' hands and helping them not feel alone in this.
Right. Really lovely. Do you have any thoughts about when someone might need more support than the book and a book group? You know, like when might somebody consider therapy or some additional support to make some of these changes?
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, if you're looking in the book and you're going through the things and it still feels like this is feeling way too much for me, or my kid is just so angry with me, or what they're involved in feels like too much for me, then I think reach out for more help. That's part of why I'm putting the parenting community together too, is that hopefully I can hear that and say, you know what, this is a good time. And here's ASEC and here's people in your community. This is a good time. Go see this person. You know, and you and I do that kind of thing all the time anyway. You know, we're looking at people and saying, go see this person or that person, because that's what they're there for. You know, and just a few sessions later, you're on your way. You just need a little bit more handholding than what a book or whatever is going to give you. And then you're fine. You're fine. You know, we just need a little bit more.
Right. You know? Right.
Yeah.
All right. So tell people.
Listen to your gut. Listen to what your gut is saying. If you feel like you need more, that's fine. Go get it.
So tell people where they can find you, where they can find the book, where, you know, where all these amazing resources that you've got.
Yeah, there's a couple of easy places to find it at this point. You can go to drtinashameless.com, and that's where you can get connected to some webinars that I have, the books, the cheat sheets, that'll connect you to my other website, which gets you to a bunch of stuff too. Or you can go to Instagram, and it's I'm Dr. Tina Shameless there, and that'll connect you to stuff too. So it's pretty easy to find me. Perfect. Or you can always DM me.
Okay. You'll probably get some stories like, oh my gosh, you won't believe what I found. Well, thank you so much for being back on the show. And I look forward to talking to you again when you write another book.
Oh gosh. Okay. Hopefully it'll be a while. Thanks so much. It's always so fun to be here with you. Really love it.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Better Sex. please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.